Well, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, this morning. Colossians, chapter 3. And let's pray now that the Lord would bless the reading and preaching and the hearing of His holy word. Our gracious God, we thank You for Your word. And we thank You for the eternal word made flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son. And we thank You that this inscripturated word testifies to Him. And so we ask now that You would help, Lord, us to set aside all the cares and worries and the burdens of this life, that for this time we would listen in and hear what Your word has to teach us this morning. And so we pray that the good news of Jesus Christ would penetrate our hearts, and that, Lord, You would cause our lives to bear grateful fruit for Your glory in response. And so, oh God, may Your word glorify You this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's hear now God's word from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 this morning. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. May the Lord bless His word to us this morning. Well, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you may know, a pilgrim is a traveler, right? And he or she is someone who is intentionally traveling to a very specific destination. And along the way to that destination, to that place to which they're traveling, they don't linger or rest anywhere for very long before they get up on their way and continue to move forward and sojourn to that destination. That's a pilgrim. And their focus, that singular focus and the blessings of that place to which they're traveling, it colors and influences all the decisions that they make along the way. But a drifter, on the other hand, is somewhat different. A drifter is someone who aimlessly wanders from place to place without a particular goal, without a particular destination, lingering here, lingering there, following really every whim and distraction that happens to cross their path. But as Christians, though, we're not the drifters, are we? We're pilgrims. And that's because we have a destination, don't we? We're going to where our Savior is. And where is He? He's in heaven, and He's ascended there, seated at the right hand of the Father, and we are going to Him. We are going to heaven. That is our destination, glory in heaven with our Savior face to face. And it is helpful, and I would even dare say it is necessary for us as Christians to view our Christian lives that way. And I believe that's what this scripture passage is teaching us this morning. And so the Lord's ascension to glory reminds us, by God's grace, we are Christian pilgrims on the way to that same place of glory where Jesus, our pioneer, has gone before us. And this is essentially what the Word of God communicates to us this morning when it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's the Christian hope, isn't it? That's the hope to which we've been called. The glory of heaven, loved ones, is your home. And so if you're a Christian this morning, That's the blessed place to which you are traveling. You are making your way now there. And so this morning we want to consider something. We want to consider how we ought to live in light of Christ's ascension to heaven and his return from Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And this passage, it teaches us to orient our entire pilgrim life here on earth around that great hope of heaven, that great destination that we are traveling to. And so in light of these things, in light of Christ's ascension, in light of his return to come and take us to be with himself in glory, we want to, as pilgrims, we're called to, first of all, remember what Christ has done for us in the past. And that's going to be our first point this morning from the text. Second, we're called to recognize what Christ is going to do for us in the future. And third, we're called to orient our lives in the present around the things above. And so if you're taking notes this morning, I'll repeat those. We're called as pilgrims to remember what Christ has done for us in the past. We're called to recognize what Christ is going to do for us in the future. And third, we're called as pilgrims to orient our lives in the present around the things that are above. And so let's jump in. Let's make a beginning. In the first place, in light of Christ's ascension, we're called as pilgrims to remember what he has done for us in the past. Look with me at the beginning of verse 1 in Colossians 3. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ." And then also, let your eyes fall down to verse 3. It says, "Therefore you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." And so these statements, they remind us of what Christ has already accomplished, what he's already done for you and me. These past things that Christ has done, really, they form the foundation out of which flows this command to set our hearts on things above. And we can't rightly set our hearts on things above until we first know and experience what God has already done for us in Jesus Christ. And so what exactly does the first part of verse 1 and also verse 3 call our attention to? What are we supposed to remember? Well, the mention of us having died and our lives being hidden with Christ and being raised with Christ, it reminds us of the fact that God has done something for us. He has saved us from our sins through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And back in chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, Paul has already mentioned these things, and you can look back there with me if you'd like. He says to you who have received and trusted in Christ that you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And so you see, we're called to remember that we've all sinned, every single one of us, every man, woman, and child in this room and in this world, in fact, that we've all sinned against God who is absolutely just and who is entirely holy, and our sins have created a debt before God that stands against us. And we are, in fact, so deep in that debt before this holy God that on our own we have absolutely no hope of paying off that debt to God. You see, we owe perfect obedience to God, don't we? He's our maker. We're his creatures. He has the right to command of us, and he has commanded of us. And we owe perfect obedience to his commands. and we have incurred his judgment upon ourselves because we have not perfectly obeyed. And in fact, we were conceived and born guilty and polluted by sin because of the disobedience of Adam in the garden. And because of this, we're all born spiritually dead before God. And then we go on from there to actually sin ourselves, don't we? And only adding daily to our debt before God. I mean, this is the bad news. I mean, if you're thinking, wow, that's bad news. Well, that is bad news. That's terrible news to hear. But it's true. And outside of Jesus Christ, apart from believing in him, that is our predicament. We are condemned, we are lost in sin before a holy God, and we have no hope on our own of being saved from the wrath of God that is coming upon this world. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, and we can't pay off that debt. And if we remain in that predicament until our physical death, will then justly receive the eternal punishment of God's wrath in hell. That is what we deserve, and that is what we would receive apart from Christ. That's the bad news for the world. It's important for us to remember and to know that bad news and to, if need be, choke it down. But thankfully, that's not the only news, right? That's not the only news. There's good news, too. Praise God for that. And the good news is that the same just God who demands obedience and who will punish sinners for their disobedience, the same holy God, the good news is that he is also merciful and full of forgiveness to sinners as well. And so the good news is that God has sent his very own son, his dearly loved son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become like one of us, just like one of us, yet without our sin. And he lived that perfect life of obedience on our behalf. And he obeyed all of God's commands. And then he paid the penalty of God's judgment that we deserve, by dying for us on the cross, shedding his blood to avert the wrath of God from us. And then he died. And then thankfully, on the third day, he rose again from the tomb, having triumphed over all our sin, having triumphed over our enemy, the devil, and having triumphed over death itself. And then he ascended to heaven, where he now sits in royal victory at God's right hand. And the good news is that when any sinner trusts in this Jesus, their sins are completely forgiven and taken away from them in the sight of God. The record of their debt, and if you've trusted in Christ, the record of your debt has been canceled. Canceled. The blood that Christ shed on the cross turned away God's wrath from you. And if you've trusted in Christ, not only are your sins forgiven, you also have all of the obedience that Christ performed during his life that's credited to you. And the fancy theological term for that is imputed to you. It's credited, it's imputed to you in God's sight as well. And so because of God's great love for you in his Son, you're now declared not guilty before him, and you're also declared righteous in his sight. And we'll study a little bit more about that this evening. And so hell is no longer your final destination, Christian. Hell is no longer your destination. Heaven now is. And Christ's works have become your works. Christ's death has become your death. And Christ's resurrection has become your resurrection. And you've been raised from death to life in him. And his ascension has also become your ascension to heaven. That is how hidden in him you are through faith alone by the power of the Holy Spirit. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Your life now is entirely bound up in His life. You've been raised and hidden in Him, and your hope in this life, your lasting true hope in this life, now resides in Jesus in heaven. And this is what we're called to remember, loved ones. This is what you are called to remember as you make your pilgrim way through this crooked and this dark and perverse age that we live in. Christ has saved us in the past, and He has gone ahead of us as our pioneer to heaven in glory. These are the things that we're called to remember. Well, not only does the text this morning call us to remember what Christ has done for us in the past, it also calls us to recognize what He is going to do for us in the future. And that's our second point this morning. Look with me at verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? Wonderful verse. And this truth of Christ's return and in glory and our appearing with Him, it forms that other part of the foundation out of which we're commanded to set our hearts on things above. And listen to what our Lord says to His confused disciples while He was ministering here on earth before He died and rose again. Listen to what He says what He said to His disciples and what He says to us today in John 14, verses 1 through 3. There He says, "Let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house," He's talking about heaven here, "in My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also." And then a little later in John's Gospel, Jesus prayed these words on our behalf to our Father in heaven in His high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 24. And listen to Jesus' prayer here. And He's praying for us. "Father, I desire that they also, whom You have given Me, may be with Me where I am, to see My glory that You have given Me because You loved Me before the foundation of the world." And really, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here in Colossians 3, is echoing these words of Jesus. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And so, loved ones, God, by His Word, right now, this very moment, is telling you that when Christ appears, when He comes back at His second coming, you're also going to appear with Him in glory. That's the hope that you have in your pilgrim life right now. That's where you're going. Your whole life is traveling toward that day. That's your destination. You're on your way to heaven above where Christ has already ascended. You're that pilgrim. And loved ones, He's claimed you. And He has called you to Himself in heaven. And He is faithful. His Word promises you that He is faithful to bring you all the way there. There's no fumbling of the ball on the 2-yard line on this one. The ball gets carried all the way into the end zone. God and Christ will bring you all the way there to heaven. And that is, loved ones, what your life, that is what the Christian life is all about. And hear and receive more of these great and precious promises from Christ. Listen to 1 John 3, verse 2. "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared." Now we're beginning to talk about Jesus here, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. Boy, that's a great hope. I mean, do you long to see your Savior face to face one day? That day is coming, loved ones. That day is coming. And then listen to Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And so when our Lord appears, he's going to take us to be with himself. And we'll be raised up in glory to be like him in glory. And we will see Jesus, our Savior, the one who has rescued us from the wrath of God. We will see him face to face. And what a wonderful thing to anticipate as Christians in this world. We will see our Savior. And the book of Revelation, in a marvelous, wonderful way, I'm so thankful that God, by his Holy Spirit, has written this down for us in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, speaking of this great day of heaven that's coming. It tells us what that day is going to be like. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away," listen to this, "he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Loved ones, praise God. This wonderful day is coming for us. What a day that's going to be. This is the glory that awaits you in Jesus Christ. This is the place to which you're traveling through this present evil age. So I just want to ask you this morning, in light of these things, in light of this amazing hope that we have, and in anticipation of our Savior's return, I just want to ask you, are you struggling this morning? Are you struggling with suffering of various kinds in your life? Are you struggling with sorrow in your life? Are you struggling with tears and various hardships and circumstances that are vexing you? Is that you this morning? Are you struggling in your Christian pilgrimage today? I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you to remember what Jesus is going to do for you when he comes back for you. He's going to take you to be with himself in glory. And all your struggles, all your tears, all your mourning, all your sufferings, all your difficulties, they're going to cease. Finally and fully, they will end. It will all end. And every day when the sun rises and the sun sets, every day that comes and goes, every breath that you have, every inhalation and exhalation, every blink of your eye that comes and goes, it means that the coming of your Savior is that much closer, moment by moment. It's getting closer, loved ones. It's getting closer. And so don't lose heart this morning. Don't lose heart in your Christian pilgrimage today. Keep traveling on. Keep sojourning through this world to where Jesus, your good shepherd, is leading you. He's guiding you there. He's taking you. He's leading you and guiding you to your home there in heaven with him. So don't give up. Keep pressing on in the grace of God toward that day. And so in light of these things, because we've been raised up with Christ, because we've been hidden in him and have the hope of heaven above, because of what Christ has done for us in the past and what Christ will do for us in the future, we're called as pilgrims traveling through this world to orient our whole life in the present around those things that are above. And that's our third point this morning. And we'll look at Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2 again here. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So now the foundation's been laid here. We can really more substantively begin to think about this command to set our heart and our minds on things above. You see, since we share in Christ's resurrection spiritually right now, we will share in his resurrection bodily when he comes again. And our because of this, our interests in this life are to be entirely oriented around him. Wholly focused on him and on heavenly things. This is what we're called to. We're called to pursue heavenly things while we're passing through this crooked world toward the age to come. And because of this, because of this truth, we must align all of our pursuits and all of our desires in this life with our Lord's pursuits, with our Lord's desires. That's really what this verse is ultimately getting at here. And let me explain this a little bit further. You see, Christ owns us in body and in soul. He's our Lord who's conquered sin and death and the devil by dying on the cross and rising again from the grave. And those words in verse 1, where Christ is, reminds us of our Lord's resurrection and his ascension. See, Jesus, our Savior, he bodily ascended to heaven where he is right now, this very moment, seated at the right hand of God. And the language of Christ sitting at the right hand of God in verse 1, it really originally comes from Psalm 110, where King David prophetically wrote about Messiah under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And so Christ, sitting at God's right hand, it signifies something to us. It signifies to us that he occupies the highest place of honor and preeminence over us before God in heaven. And our catechism explains this in question and answer 50 very well, that the reason Scripture tells us that Christ ascended there to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God is to show us that he is the head. He's the ruler of his church. And so we no longer belong to ourselves, loved ones. We belong to our ascended, reigning King, our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And his Spirit, through faith, has raised us up and has united us to King Jesus. And he has seated us with him in his eternal kingdom in heaven. We're first and foremost his subjects in his kingdom. And although we are citizens here in this common kingdom, in the temporal kingdom of this world, however, our lasting primary citizenship resides in the kingdom of heaven. And we ultimately bow before Christ and his majesty in this life. And so therefore, loved ones, as verse 2 of our text says this morning, set your minds on those things above, not on earthly things. And when the Apostle Paul says there, set your minds on things above, he's not referring to some purely mental or intellectual process. He's not referring to just acknowledging these things above, although that is included in the meaning. The core of what God's Word is commanding us to do is to fundamentally orient our mind, our will, around the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Set your heart, set your mind, set your attitudes, set all your ambitions, set the whole outlook of your life on heaven above and on Jesus Christ, your great God and Savior. He's your Lord. He's your rightful King. And so don't set your hope, don't set your affections on earthly things. Now, this doesn't mean that we're just to sit around thinking pie-in-the-sky thoughts about heaven around the campfire singing kumbaya and ignore the things in this life that on earth that are still important. You see, we're still to pursue things on earth that we're called to do. We're to do it with grateful hearts, but we do so now with heaven in mind, with a greater focus and a greater purpose in doing those things. We obey the Lord now not to earn heaven, but to show our thankfulness for our free inheritance that awaits us there in heaven. And so our lives are no longer to be dominated by the ways of the world. In fact, they're not dominated by the ways of the world because we've been born again. The old things have passed and the new have come, and the Spirit of God indwells us. We're under the dominion of the new world to come, even as we make our way right now through this present evil age. And so as we make our way in this life, the things God calls us to do are still important. And you who are husbands, you're still to love your wives, laying down your life for her daily, as Christ has done for his bride, the church. And you who are wives are still to honor and respect and submit to your husbands as the church does so unto Christ. And children and young people, you're still to honor and to obey your parents. And so all of us in our workplaces were to pursue our vocations and to do our work with integrity as Christians and with excellence before the world. And we're all still to love our neighbor in this world, caring for them, eager to serve them with our good works. All of these things are good, and they're important for us to do and to pursue in this present life. But we don't place all our hope and treasure in any of these things, do we? Ultimately, we don't. We obey our King in all these things here on earth as pilgrims who are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven above, bearing witness with our lips and with our lives to the good news of Jesus Christ. And we do all these things in the world now as tangible expressions of our thankfulness to God for what he's done for us in Christ in the past, and in anticipation for what he's promised to do for us in the future, namely to bring us safely to our homeland in heaven where our Savior now is. And so setting our minds and our hearts on the things above, it means longing for, it means looking for, anticipating, and living for heaven's sake, living for Christ in this present age. So setting our minds on things above to live our lives right now with our final destination of heaven in mind. It means viewing our pilgrimage on this earth through the vantage point of heaven first, because heaven's the priority above all else. And so loved ones, let that great heavenly hope to which you've been called strengthen you, to motivate you, to influence you in how you go about doing everything in your life. Orient and organize your priorities in this life on earth around heaven's priorities above. You're going to heaven. Live in light of that glory. Set your heart on that. Set your mind on that. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, echoes and summarizes the thought of Colossians 3 here very well. There the Word of God says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded," and here it is, "set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Set your hope, your heart, your mind fully on that great hope. Set your minds on things above, not on things of earth below. So in conclusion, loved ones, as you hear these things, I mean, that is a tall order, isn't it? Everything you do is to be prioritized by heaven. And you're just set your mind on that. And you might kind of think about that, and you might this morning feel, boy, I haven't done it like that. And maybe you might feel like a failure in these things. Maybe you feel like a failure in your Christian life and in your Christian living. But right now you might feel more like that drifter who is caught up in the things of this world. And you might feel like your faith is weak. Well, perhaps that may be because you've forgotten who you are, forgotten that you aren't a drifter, but you've forgotten that you're a pilgrim on the way to Christ above. And loved ones, if we're honest with ourselves, and we need to be honest with ourselves, we all feel this way often, don't we? We all fall short of perfectly living out this command to set our minds on things above. That doesn't excuse us. But that's the reality of our Christian life. But thankfully, there is good news for you and I right now, even as Christians who fail in the Christian life every day. We have a good king on our side, don't we? And he made this pilgrimage too. I mean, that's the great thing about this. He's made the same pilgrimage that we're making right now. He's our pioneer who left the glory of heaven above and traveled through this world just like we are. And he was tempted in all things in this life, just like us. But yet he never sinned. Thank God, he never sinned. And with the joy of heaven that was set before him, he came and he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And he saved us by his righteous pilgrim life. And he set his mind, he set his heart on heaven above perfectly in our place. And thankfully so. And he died on the cross for all our failures and all our sins in this life and in all of our situations where we've not kept heaven in mind. And he rose again from the dead and he's ascended to heaven in royal victory where he now is, seated at the hand of God. And so in your struggles, Christian, in your difficulties, in your pilgrim life, look to him. Look to him, loved ones. Trust in him. He loves you. He's redeemed you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. That is his promise to you this morning. He's promised to come back for you. He's going to return for you, and when he who is your life does appear again, you then will also appear with him in glory. And so, loved ones, may God aid you with his grace to live in the meantime as faithful pilgrims on your way to Christ above. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word. And we thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you that our Savior has gone to heaven before us, having lived the perfect life and died for our sins on the cross and raised from the dead. We thank you for what you have done for us in the past. And we are thankful and full of anticipation for what you've promised to do for us in the future. And we pray, Lord, that you would come quickly and help us in the meantime. Strengthen us in your grace to set our minds and our hearts fully on that great day of your return. Strengthen us, encourage us to that end, all for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.